Welcome back. Pull up a chair and join us at the table this week for another episode of Paper Pencil Dice, a tabletop role-playing podcast.
Welcome back to this episode of Paper Pencil Dice. So, as you guys remember last time, that was the end of the Nishtun arc, that first major season of Paper Pencil Dice. So, we're going to go ahead and start off season two. But before we do, one thing you'll notice about this episode is that we're not doing introductions. You'll find out why later. So, we're going to start off with Jethal. So, Jethal, you start to regain consciousness. As you are beginning to wake up, you first notice a gentle breeze, and you hear some birds chirping. As you continue to gain consciousness, you also notice that you are in a bed, a kind of fluffy down-stuffed bed, like bird feathers. It's pretty comfortable but lumpy. You also, at this point, realize that you are incredibly sore. Like, every muscle and joint is sore. Like, imagine the day after, like, an intense workout, and then think about that pain over your entire body.
Okay.
So as you kind of, more of your senses kind of kick online, you feel a cloth towel or cloth of some sort mop your forehead, and your eyes open. And you see a goblin gently wiping sweat off your forehead. After a few moments,
who are you?
You recognize the goblin after kind of your eyes go back into focus. You see his long nose and kind of inquisitive, piercing eyes. Last time you saw him, he was actually wearing a deerstalker hat, but he's not right now. This is Investigator Teak.
Oh, gosh, this guy. Okay. How did I get here, Teak?
Well, I mean, I know that you're here. I don't exactly know what brought you here, but I'll tell you what I know.
That's not helpful.
So you're in a cabin, and he kind of points at the walls, they're wood walls. He goes, and there's this old guy that owns this place. I think he said his name is Belatius, the ranger. You've been asleep for a while, from what they said. I only got here within a handful of days ago. I was sent here by Master Ganthus when you guys didn't return.
Oh.
And I ran into them on the road, and they're Belatius, and he asked me where I was going, because he was suspicious of me, because I'm a goblin, which I didn't appreciate very much. But when I told him that I was looking for you, he brought me here. And I've been taking care of you guys since I got here.
You guys? Who else is here?
You and Tegan and Aether are all here. I don't know where Hup is.
But where's... You don't know where Hup is?
He wasn't here.
Where's Belatius?
He's down the hall.
Can you bring him here? I need to talk to him.
Can you walk? I mean, I can bring you to him. How are you feeling? Do you feel okay? Or as you look at Teak further, Jethal, you do happen to notice a couple spots on his side where there appears to be what are maybe like stab wounds. Very shallow, not like deep wounds, but the skin around the stab wound seems like it's been withered. As Teak kind of tries to help you to your feet to take you to Belatius, he does grimace a bit when he's moving around, but it doesn't really seem to slow him down too much.
Are you okay, Teak?
I'll be fine. I'm just doing my best to take care of you guys.
I mean, I appreciate that, considering we didn't really treat you well last time.
Well, I work for Master Ganthus now, so what you guys are doing is really important, and Master Ganthus has, given me a little bit more information. I'll share that with you, when you're ready, but I think you probably have a lot more questions right now, and I don't have most of the answers you're looking for, so. As you're having this conversation, a woman wearing kind of white linens and she's carrying a vessel of water. Comes into the room. You recognize her as White Pebble, Jethal.
White Pebble? I don't recall that name.
She was the indentured person who you met just before you started the trials?
That's right. Okay. Yes, I did have that written down.
As soon as she realizes that you're awake, though, she quickly looks at the floor, steps on the water, and then leaves the room.
Wait, Pebble. Pebble, right?
She doesn't respond. She's already gone.
Okay. I would like some water.
Yep. Teak goes and kind of gets, like, sort of a cup and scoops some out and brings it to you.
Excellent. Thank you. Glug, 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 glug.
And the water is amazingly delicious. You probably haven't drank, well, you feel like it's been forever since you drank. Obviously, you're not completely dehydrated, but, like, you've been out for a good long while.
I hand the cup back to him. More, please.
Okay, he gives you another cup, and you drink your fill, and eventually you start feeling better. I mean, you're still sore, but you feel like you can get up and walk around again.
Sure. All right, let's go talk to Belatius.
Yeah. So you get up, you leave the room. As you just exit the room, you see a small human walk up the hallway. You recognize him as the orphan Matar. And he goes, "He's awake! He's awake!" And he runs back away down the hallway and goes, "He's awake! The other magic guy's awake! Hooray!" And then his voice just trails off.
I just shake my head. Not the biggest fan of Matar. He got us into trouble.
But as you go the same direction that Matar ran away towards, there are three other bedrooms that you pass by. So there's the one across the hallway from yours, which is at the end of the hall. So at the end of the hall, it's kind of a T-intersection. To the left was yours. To the right is another one. And this one, you see, this appears to be the largest room in this cabin. It's a fairly large cabin overall. But you see it's filled with different blankets laid out along the floor, as though there's a lot of different people. Maybe 10, 12 people that are sleeping on the floor in this one room. Most of the blankets, based upon kind of how they're how they're messed up and, where they were slept on, most of them are probably not full human size, so they're either children or halflings or something like that. The next room, as you're going down the hall, to the right, looks like it's set up as a bedroom for three people. The different beds, again, these are all kind of makeshift beds. There's not formal beds for the most part. There's one of them has the blankets are just kind of lightly tossed. Another one is just a complete mess, and there's a patch of white and black fur at the bottom of the bed. The third bed in that room is meticulously made. Like, it is perfectly made. So it's kind of like the three stages of beds, really, as you yep. possibly imagine it.
Sure, okay.
And then the last room, the fourth room, bedroom, is the door is closed.
I asked Teak, so who else is staying here? This doesn't seem like only... Well, Aether and Tegan are here.
Oh, well, there's a lot of people here right now. There, but you guys were the main people that were brought here. I think everyone else is either here as sort of like refugees or people who ran away after everything that happened where you guys were.
Refugees.
Well, you do know that Nishtun is pretty much destroyed, right?
What? No.
Well, I haven't been there. I haven't seen it. I assume it's destroyed because that's what everyone else says. But yeah, there's a bunch of people here. They brought from what I was told, they brought you guys here and with a whole bunch of other people. So, I don't know.
Destroyed. Interesting. Okay.
So, as you continue on down out to the main sort of area, you are greeted by some other familiar faces. Sitting around a small makeshift table, it looks like it was built out of a tree trunk. You first see Hammond, who is the orphan caregiver from Nishtun.
Hammond, yeah. Dinosaur guy.
And Matar runs up to him after announcing your presence yet again, saying, "The magic guy's awake." He gently kind of messes up Matar's hair, causing Matar to giggle to himself a little bit. Hammond looks at Matar and tells him, just why don't you go outside and see what Grodd and the others are up to? And Matar goes, okay, and runs outside. The other person is the old ranger, Belatius. He's sitting at the other end of the table along with Hammond. He has long gray hair, stubble, and sort of a gentle yet rugged look on his face. He gets up, walks to a cauldron that's over a fire, kind of ladles out some hot liquid into a cup, and then puts a couple leaves into the cup and walks back and sits down at the table. He just kind of splits that into another smaller cup and walks up and hands you one of them.
Thank you. I appreciate this.
He goes and takes a long sip from his mug, and Belatius says, glad to see you're finally awake. I was beginning to worry. You're no... Oh,
I'm sorry.
Go ahead.
I was just going to ask how long I was out.
It's been almost a month that you've been asleep.
What? I almost drop the mug.
He goes, well, when you arrived here with Hammond and the others, you were pretty banged up. It took a good long while for you to recover, but I'm glad we were able to get you better. You were a little bit easier to treat than your gnome friend, but he woke up earlier than you did. He woke up this morning, or I'm sorry, yesterday morning, and he's out right now looking for healing herbs out in the woods, but he should be back soon.
Hmm.
I'm sure you have plenty of questions about what's going on, and
yes,
we have time right now, so go ahead.
I mean, how did we get here? All I remember is we were in the bowels, you know, down in the vault, battling for the, you know, something. I don't really want to say, but something, and it just went black. I don't remember what happened. How can I not remember?
Well, and Hammond kind of looks up at this point, and you remember Hammond. He's a big kind of monster of a man, you know, broad chest. He's older. He's, you know, he's got like tons of arm hair and stuff like that, but it's all gray at this point.
Mm-hmm.
He looks up at you, kind of strokes his face a little bit and goes, well, we found you, Ralos and I did. You and Thier and
Ralos
Tegan.
Was with us. Well, I should say, kind of. Was he not?
Yes. Well, Ralos came to me and asked me for help in finding you, in providing backup, and unfortunately, by the time we got to you, the battle had pretty much been completed, but your friend that you made there, White Pebbles, she and Aether were able to get you off to safety and keep you hidden from the others, those that wished you harm, long enough for us to get there, and as opposed to take the battle to them, we elected to get out and save your lives, as you did to so many others.
I appreciate that. I am just so confused. What happened to Hup?
Well, from what Ralos informed us, Hup has fallen. His body is now possessed by an ancient being known as Kundal. He has taken your friend Hup and taken his corporeal form. There might be a bit of Hup left in there, but you'd have to probably take the battle and defeat Kundal first before there's any chance of recovering Hup.
Hmm.
I know that's difficult news to hear, but...
It is. I felt like him and I were starting to understand each other.
Well, it's always tough to lose a friend. I unfortunately have lost many friends, unfortunately, over the years. But it never gets easier, but you have to keep moving forward.
Yes, of course. I'll do what I must. So, what are we doing here with there's so many people?
Well, Ralos and I brought you here. Belasius is an old friend of mine, and so I brought you here to get you somewhere where I knew that we could protect in case there was any attacks. Belasius also made a call out for anyone else part of our organization to come for aid, and luckily we have not had anyone attack since you've been here, so but I couldn't be too careful. But yeah, we brought you here, and being that I am in charge of the orphanage, Grodd and the orphans came with me, and White Pebble was with you and watched over you after the attack had happened, so she had nowhere else to go, so we brought her with us as well. Any gestures towards Inquisitor Teek. A few days ago, Belasius found Teek out in the woods. And Belasius speaks up and goes, yes, he was looking around and was rather suspicious, so I asked him what he was doing, and he was looking for the four of you, so his intentions seemed true and not hostile, so I brought him here, and for the past 3 or 4 days, he's been watching over you, and I mean, he's done an amazing job of bringing you back to health, and the sacrifices he made in bringing Tegan back were incredible. We thought we were about to lose Tegan, but Teek was able to bring him back from the brink.
Wow. I'm speechless. That's great to hear, though. I appreciate that.
Teek goes, it was nothing. You would have done the same for me.
Yes, possibly.
So at this point in time, you hear this roar of laughter come up from outside. Hammond's mood changes kind of from the grim tone he's had with all these questions, and he laughs heartily and slaps Belasius on the back, almost causing Belasius to spill his own drink. And he goes, yeah, quite the crowd we've brought here to the Sleepy Cabin, eh, Bell? Bell just kind of reasserts himself and goes, yes, it is nice to have visitors, even regardless of the circumstances. I'm glad that you and Grodd were able to put up so many shelters for everyone in such a short time.
How many shelters do we have? How many people are here?
Quite a few. Anyone who is fleeing Mistune after both Kundal's Awakening and, apparently Kundal's Awakening, as well as the undead assault on the city. We took anyone who was interested in escaping and needed a place to stay. So, and Belasius goes, this used to be a secret cabin, but I don't think that's the case anymore.
It doesn't appear that way.
And he's like, Belasius gestures outside, and as you get up and kind of walk towards the door, you see just several kind of, you know, makeshift tents set up with just, you know, posts and tarps and, or, you know, animal skins or whatever kind of stood up, and different bedrolls laid out underneath them. These are very makeshift, shelters, but shelters nonetheless. The cabin around you is the only permanent structure that's here of everything, though. Pretty much with all the different shelters and people running around outside, this has turned this entire clearing into what used to be a solitary cabin in the woods into pretty much a small settlement at this point.
It's a lot of people. How are we sustaining all these? How are we feeding people? How are we...
Well, Belasius kind of walks up behind you and puts one hand on your shoulder and goes, well, my apprentice and I do most of the hunting, and nature has its way of providing, you know, no matter how many people are in need. So I generally don't require that much of the land, but the land is able to provide for far more than just myself and my apprentice.
Good to hear.
Off to the left, you see a bunch of the orphans. They're kind of going through a set of morning exercises. They are being led by this dwarf. Do you want to go ahead and describe what you look like?
So, sitting there in a cross-legged stance is a dwarf with a very long, very full, majestic brown beard that is starting to turn gray. His head is shaven. He's wearing some orange and red robes, and his hands are meticulously wrapped, very intentionally so. And he's just sitting there. The most prominent feature, aside from his beard, is the giant smile he has on his face as he's talking to these children.
All right, children. The first thing to know about meditation is just trying to maintain balance. It's the most important thing in life. You know, without happiness, you can't have sadness. But without sadness, you can't have happiness. Just know that it's not always going to be one or the other. It's okay to feel one or the other. So in that respect, let's try and maintain that balance within ourselves, calm ourselves, bring ourselves into our centers.
And Jethal, you come out and you witness this off to the left.
That's beautiful. Where did you learn this?
I've been a member of a monastic organization for quite a bit of my life. It's just kind of what we do.
Okay.
What is your name, by the way?
I'm Jethal, and I reach my hand out. And yours?
Glad to meet you. My name is Tormir.
Jethal, would you like to describe what you look like?
Yeah, I am kind of a taller... So I'm a seer elf. I'm hold myself definitely in kind of a... I'm a little slumped right now because I'm not as, you know, I'm still recovering. But I usually hold myself in a fairly well-kept manner. I don't know what my clothes are like at this point, but typically my clothes are very, very nice. I like to keep nice, look nice. I'm not like... I don't have a beard or anything. I'm just, you know, fairly clean shaven, just kind of an elf. You can see my pointy ears.
As you guys are, you know, having this conversation and talking a little bit about kind of the dwarves, Tormir's meditation, you see a little bit of activity off in the woods just to the side. And a badger comes out through the... kind of weaving in between the different reeds and grasses that, you know, cover the forest floor. The badger, it's a badger with kind of the white and the black face, kind of very, very European English style badger type thing. Just behind the badger, you see a small halfling come through, and she kind of parts through the grass just behind them. And trailing her, although struggling a little bit to get over some of the logs and sticks, is another short person, Tegan, trying to keep up with her.
What?
You're a sorcerer. You're not as good in the woods as she is. So, first of all...
Stumbling over rocks. Wow.
Well, what's your last name again, Tegan?
Stumble duck, not stumble rock. Jeez. Nope.
And the rock...
Stumble after a duck.
All right. So first of all, the halfling, would you like to go ahead and describe what you look like?
The halfling is following after the black and white badger. She has long brown hair that's caught up in a braid. She's wearing very outdoorsy material. Definitely forest colors, green and like browns. And she has a bow strapped to her back. And she has a quiver as well. She looks very comfortable in the woods. Stands about 3 feet. She towers over the little gnome.
I'm calling foul. I don't know about you guys, but... anyway.
Towers over is like... She's like 4 inches taller than you.
I know,
towers
right?
Over.
All right. So, Tegan, you go ahead and do you want to describe what you look like coming out of the woods?
I'm still a little disheveled. I've woken up a couple of days ago, but I've still got the same plain brown tunic. I've got some cheeriness, but at the same time, I've got a lot of sadness kind of on my face. You can tell there's something weighing me down a little bit. But I'm happy to go in the woods and follow around. I may have taken a little bit of a liking to the other short person. So kind of a happy, sad, and still got my staff of healing, I believe, unless it got taken from me.
No, you still have it.
Sweet.
Taller than the badger.
Wow. You're taller than a duck. Congratulations. Yeah, hey. So that's it.
Okay. And you are a gnome, so gnomes are on average slightly shorter than halflings. I mean, that's not abnormal, but it is, you know, that so far. So you and what was your name, halfling?
Tabitha.
Tabitha. So Tegan and Tabitha have been out in the woods pretty much. The two of you have been out in the woods all day looking for different herbs to heal. The two of you guys. So Tegan, you woke up about a little over a day ago. And you knew that Jethal was doing pretty well overall, but the Aether was not. Aether was far more injured and far more hurt than either the two of you, from what you could tell when you woke up. So you knew some of the herbs. Tabitha was able to kind of fill in any of the gaps with her knowledge of what's out there in the woods. And the two of you went out hunting to go get some herbs. One of the other things I'm going to point out to you a little bit is, you have not been hungry at all since you woke up. So just a minor oddity. Your mouth feels kind of parched, but you went to drink water and they kind of stopped you. So.
Okay, yeah. Minor oddity with Tony as a DM. Yeah, that never goes well. I'm going to turn into something crazy.
All right.
I mean, yeah, everything's fine. So anyway, so the two of you guys come out of the woods and you see Jethal awake now, which he wasn't before he left.
Jethal, you're doing well. Glad to see it.
Oh,
how you feeling?
Tegan, good to see you. I'm I'm doing all right. I'm awake and learning that there's so many things have happened.
Yeah, I still don't even have it all down yet. We should probably ask some more questions. My mind hasn't really been on the present, so we should probably get together and ask some really good questions and find out the rest of the story, especially about Mathur Ganstus and what he sent Teek here for. I don't think I've even had the wherewithal to even ask those type of questions. But first, I think we need to go tend to Aether. Is that right?
Oh, is Aether... He's still not awake, obviously, but from what I've heard... Was he doing okay?
No, he's not doing well at all. We have to monitor him day and night, and it's just not going as well as we'd hoped.
Well,
so we're gonna watch him day and night the way Teek had taken care of me, so we're watching him the same way. But I'm glad you're awake, and you'll be able to help us out with a couple of questions that we've still got.
I don't know how much I can answer. I don't remember a lot.
Well, between all of us and Hammond and Pebble, maybe we can even get some more information from Bell and see if we can get this figured out.
That's probably a good idea.
Let's go check on Aether first.
By the way, who are you following? Who's your new friend? You're about the same height. She's a little taller, but...
Ooh.
4 inches, at least.
Yeah.
This is Tabitha. Incredible amount of knowledge for herbs. She definitely knows her way around. I just wouldn't mess with a badger if I were you.
Oh, okay.
Am I in the room?
No, you guys are outside the cabin, but yes, you're right here. You're all together, the monk is out here.
Am I in the conversation, or was I off preparing the herbs?
No. You're standing here along with the same conversation, and about this time, also the dwarf has kind of finished leading his meditation class. And if you want to, you're welcome to walk over and participate in the conversation as well.
What a beautiful creature you've got with you.
His name is Francis.
Are you talking about Francis or Tabby?
Oh, sweet.
That's great.
Wow.
I haven't seen one of your kind in many years.
Well, that's because we blend in the background. We're so stealthy and,
Read short.
No. Anyway.
I'm not one to judge in that regard. So, it is what it is.
I don't believe we've met. What's your name?
My name is Tormir. How are you doing today?
Tormir, my name's Tegan. I like your name. Where do you hail from?
Oh, here and there. Just been kind of traveling the lines as a member of an organization known as the White Lily.
Really? And the White Lily is?
You remember the White Lily. So the White Lily is... That's the organization that Hammond originally founded. It's part of the White Lily. He had the White Lily Orphanage, but also he's a member of the White Lily. You also remember seeing the White Lily symbol on Rallus's hand.
Yeah, that's right. Ah, Tormir, I guess I didn't know that. That's good to know.
Yeah, and I'm just I was asked to see if I could stop by and lend any assistance, and so while I was waiting on anything to happen, I figured I'd take the opportunity and just, you know, spread some of my beliefs and try and help the people who are clearly suffering.
So you're a man of faith?
In a way. Not maybe in your typical sense, you know, more of a spiritual faith.
Awesome. So, Tabitha, I never thought to ask, are you a member of the White Lily too?
Nope. Master is your host. I'm his apprentice.
Oh, you're Bell's apprentice. I never put that together. Thank you.
Yeah, Belasius is a member of the White Lily, but yes, Tabitha is not yet.
Ah, okay. That makes sense.
So
with him for the past probably about I can't actually remember how long. Well, since I was much younger, I guess.
You've been with him for about 17 years now.
It's a long apprenticeship.
So, I didn't even think to ask, does anyone know what happened to the stone? Can I haven't even asked this whole day. I've been thinking of other things.
What stone, Tegan?
Oh, sorry. What happened to the things we were looking for? Did we keep any of them? Or, I mean, can I give,
I don't know.
The eye to Jethal and be like, do you have the stone? Do I have the stone? Like, out of game, maybe use message. Actually, we can use message. We both got the cantrip, right? So we're going to...
That's true.
Do you guys remember who has the stone?
I was supposed to have the stone.
I had it.
No.
I had taken it from you because I had picked it up.
Who has the pebble?
I had taken the stone because used my mage hand to grab it, and then I had gotten it from a mage hand.
That's correct.
Fair enough.
Yeah. So, yeah, Jethal has
the sword.
Correct.
Yeah. Do I still have the cool sword?
You still have the cool sword. You still have the cool sword, and you still have the rest of your gear, too. You didn't lose any gear. And Jethal still has the stone if you go looking for it.
Mm. Awesome. Cool.
Yeah, I don't know if we've got that stuff that we were looking for. That's a good question. We should probably try and... I guess I should probably look around. I don't know. I just kind of got up and didn't look around much.
Did anyone
get to my bearings?
Did anyone know what happened to Rallus? I didn't even think to ask.
Rallus, my understanding is part of the group that brought us here.
He left about I believe it was a week ago.
Oh, he left.
He went to go look for some information.
But Belasius kind of walks up from behind and goes, "Yeah, it was." A little over a week ago, maybe almost 2 weeks at this point, he came here and just made sure that you guys were more or less okay, but he has since left and went off. I honestly don't know where to go do research on trying to figure out how to possibly defeat Kundal at this point. So I'm sure we'll hear from him once he has a breakthrough, but yeah, he said that he's quite upset that Kundal came back. That's what he was trying to prevent in attempting to acquire Kundal's phylactery, but unfortunately things didn't go the way Rallus had expected, so he doesn't blame you. It was an honest mistake, but the thing is ultimately Kundal can't be allowed to reign free. Last time he did, at least according to legends, he tried to take down most of the continent and raise an army of the undead to rule over all of it. So
I visibly gasp.
Luckily, luckily he didn't succeed last time. And that sword you have there, for all its downsides, was one of the things that helped take him down.
Okay.
At least, according to legend, anyway.
Yeah. Don't lose that, Tegan.
Yeah, put that back in the backpack and stop looking at it.
But it looks like you guys were successful in finding some of the herbs that we needed for the final tincture for Aether.
Yeah, let's get this to him and get him better.
Yeah. So, but Belatius brings you back inside, and you know he and Tabitha kind of work together on brewing up something, and they ask you, Tegan, to kind of help with some of your healing magics to infuse it.
Mm-hmm.
And eventually, you construct a tincture, likely fairly potent tincture. That wouldn't necessarily heal wounds, but would definitely heal damage done to a soul. And
were you able to figure out if he was turning undead, and we were able to turn that, or is this something different than the turning to undead?
This isn't necessarily turning undead. This is like as though a sword can stab you and leave a laceration in your skin. This is something that left a laceration in Aether's soul. So, and that kind of healing can't be done, easily. So that's why it took a fairly complicated measure. And there's been other things that have been given to him along to kind of get him to the point where hopefully this should be the final step. If this doesn't bring him back, though, I don't know if anything can.
Well, we were glad that we could find the king's foil, and we brought more willow bark back.
Yes, and I'm glad you were able to find those as well. You have always been very enterprising. Of that, I think that you show great promise, Tabitha.
Thank you. Francis is the one that found the king's foil.
Oh, well done, Francis.
That's what badgers sound like.
That's what this badger sounds like.
You got a problem with that? Take it up with Francis.
The grumpy old man trapped in the badger. It's awesome.
Oh, dear.
All right. So what do you guys do?
So let's put the tincture in. I'll administer it to Aether and see if we can wake him up.
Yep.
Or at least get him on the mend.
You go into the fourth room, the one that was had the door closed earlier, Zithal. And you see Aether there, and he is most of his armor has been taken off and kind of gently set aside. The clothes he was wearing, it looks like some of them had to be cut away as they stitched very large wounds in Aether's skin back together. The scars of which are still fairly apparent. His skin is pale, and there's kind of you can see every once in a while these swirling black, almost like shadows underneath the skin that move occasionally. It's kind of disturbing watching. Every once in a while, Aether's not immobile. Aether kind of seems to move and shake, as the shadows move, almost as though he's in some sort of subconscious way trying to fight them. But obviously he needs help to win this particular battle.
That's concerning. And yes, kind of gives me the willies, to say the least, to see that. So I'm a little taken aback by that. Tegan, is this the way he's always been?
Yeah, something happened to him worse than happened to us. His soul is fighting something that just keeps coming back. If this doesn't work, apparently, the consensus is he's not going to make it, but we've already lost Hup. We're not going to lose another one, so we'll keep fighting no matter what.
Yeah, absolutely. What do we do?
We give him this and say some prayers.
I'm not real good with prayers, but I can help where I can.
Well, send some good thoughts. So pour the mixture down Aether's throat, and any other special medical preparations I'm supposed to do, and I'll start saying a prayer.
Yep. Aether, it's a couple of, probably about 10 to 15 seconds after you pour it down, his throat reacts rather violently, shuddering and kind of twitching, almost falling off the bed that he's on. And the black shadows that are underneath his skin seem to be fighting just as violently against him as he is against them. And it continues on for, honestly, it seems like forever, until Aether simply goes completely limp and non-moving. And not breathing. Aether, rather. And he sits there for almost what seems like a minute, maybe 2 minutes. Not moving, not breathing, not anything. Until suddenly his eyes open and he takes a really deep gasp of air.
Did it work?
Yes, it did. Thank the heavens. Because we were out of ideas.
Aether, you are incredibly sore but conscious now.
Aether, how are you feeling?
I open my eyes and I go, what are you guys doing here?
What do you mean, what are we doing here?
Like, last time I knew, we were down in the vault. I was trying to lose conscious, but I was fighting pretty hard, and I saw the two of you go down. Then I saw, like, two people. They appeared there next to Hup, and it was a woman with just kind of scaly skin, and another, like, it was weird. It was like a almost a wolf, but not really a wolf. It was almost a man wolf. He had metal spikes coming through his skin. They almost like twins or partners, because they talk to each other, and she referenced him as Watt. I think we were losing that battle there, so I needed to get us out of there, but you know, I was pretty wounded as it was, so I fought them for a little while, but there was no way we were winning that, so I had to get us out. So I grabbed you two and made a run for it. It wasn't too long, and I found White Pebble through the halls. She was looking for us. Pup didn't seem to be all that concerned with us, as if we were no longer a concern or a threat to him anymore. They didn't pursue. At least I don't think they did very far, because White Pebble was able to hide us away. She had a passage there that we went into, but she mentioned Kandal. Not really sure who that is, but apparently it's this spirit that now possesses Hop. I don't know too much about it. I don't know how he can be alive again. I guess as able to survive and possess somebody else. They were always at his side, so I'm assuming they just came because he reappeared. I'm not sure.
Yeah, I did hear that Kandal was back. Unfortunately, he's possessing Hup, is what I've heard. And so Hup is unfortunately gone.
That's unfortunate. Yeah, the last thing I remembered as we were trying to escape, I was losing consciousness because I'd taken a lot of hits there while we were in the vault, and I saw Rallus and Hammond before I lost consciousness, and that's the last thing I remember. So what's been going on since then?
Well, I just woke up this morning, not too long ago, honestly. Tegan might, maybe he can give a little bit more around what's going on here.
As you were talking, I was thinking that that kind of triggered something in my mind. Would I know what Kundal is based on what they just did the description of, being able to possess other people, live for a long time? Do I have to do a religion check to know what he might be, or can I guess it?
How many? Yeah, if you want to try to guess it, go for it.
He sounds like a lich.
You are correct.
So, based on that, we know how powerful Kundal was as a lich, or do I know? Does anybody else know? Or
if he was powerful enough to become a lich, he's powerful to say the least. So
way above us or anyone around us. Maybe even more powerful than Rallus. Yeah, this is bad news. I don't know if it's worse than our original mission, but looks like we've got two enemy forces to fight now.
Oh, boy. Just what we need.
Right.
So, can we talk to Teek and get some more information from Master Ganthus about our original mission and how this affects our original mission?
Ken, next time. So, we'll see how things went with Master Ganthus and how things are going and why was Teek sent to find you by Master Ganthus next time. On Paper, Pencil, Dice. So thanks again for listening in, everybody. You can find us on Facebook. You can reach out to us on Discord. We now have an email address, paperpencildicepodcast@gmail.com. Feel free to send us any emails. If you just want to reach out, tell us what you think of the show, have any questions. If you even have questions on just role-playing games or how to Dungeon Master or anything like that, reach out. I have years of experience doing this, about 25 years. So I'm happy to help out. And all the other players, if you have questions about this campaign or any of your campaigns, drop us a line. But otherwise, well, I guess we'll see you next time. But in the meantime, keep gaming, everybody.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Paper, Pencil, Dice. Reach out to us at paperpencildicepodcast@gmail.com. Join us next time to find out what our heroes get into next on Paper, Pencil, Dice.